To continue our Wednesday series titled Heroes, we're looking at the Old Testament and looking at some different characters, real characters. How many know any real characters? I know a real character. One of them sitting right there. This guy. Nice. Y'all shaved up. Looks like you're ready to go cut some meat, bro. Yeah. God's faithful, isn't he? God is so faithful. But you know, but looking at some men and women in the Old Testament and taking a look at how they lived their life of faith and really gleaning from that and realizing that you and I are called to live a life of faith, but we can look at the Old Testament and see what these men and women did. And you know, they did not even have the Holy Spirit living on the inside. That should make a difference. So you and I should look at what they did, and we should really be living at a higher level than what we even see in the Old Testament. And we had fun last week looking at Noah. I don't know if you were here last week. God just did some awesome things. But tonight, I want to look at the life of Moses, and I'm going to try to get this into one segment. We'll see. I mean, and we're not going to look at the whole wilderness journey and all that. What I really want to look at, what Holy Spirit ministered to me and put on my heart, was to look at the call of Moses and how he handled that and how we can really respond to that with the call of God in our lives. And you may be sitting here tonight and you may think, well, I don't even know if there is a call of God in my life. Let me answer it for you. The answer is yes, there is. As soon as you become a Christian and name the name of Christ, you have a call on your life. Jesus said, anyone who wants to follow me, what? Take up his cross daily. Your cross is your ministry. We'll just say, I mean, sometimes people say, well, my cross is this hairy corn on my toe. No, that's not your cross. That's disgusting. Take care of it. Okay, you know, but listen, people think that our cross is our suffering and pain, and it can be part of it. But don't you lay hold of some disease and say, well, this is my cross. Don't you lay hold of some hardship and say, well, this is my cross to bear. All right? Now, we'll talk about hardship tonight, and we'll see God's got the answer. And we don't ignore hardship in this church. We are real about that. Real people live a real life with a real God. There's hardships, but listen, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves you. And so, boy, a couple of you got excited about that. But see, we got to believe that we can get past it. That is not your cross. Your cross is ministry. Your cross is the will of Father for your life. And what you say, well, I don't know if I'm called to pastor. I'm not talking about fivefold ministry. Some of us are called to that. I'm talking about your sphere of influence, where you work, where you go to school, your family. Ouch. When you go to the market, wherever you go. Your ministry to reach out to the world. I mean, that's why we love doing things like the church has left the building. Listen, it's not just about us sitting in the pews and getting fat and babies living on milk. We need to get meat, and then we need to reach out and start to make a difference in people's lives, and that starts where you live today. Hebrews 11:1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen we're not made of things which are visible. Again, one of our foundational scriptures for this series. The Bible's full of examples of men and women that live by faith. James 2:14, we're not going to put it on the overhead, but it says that you and I need to have works. It says faith without works is dead. So faith should have works. Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin, or weight and the sin, that so easily ensnares us. I just want to say this here. You know that faith helps us to overcome sin? And I'm not talking about, I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm not going to do that. That is not what I'm talking about. That is just works, and it will not work. So just quit. By faith, you are believing that you are justified in the eyes of God according to grace. The Bible says faith works by grace, and grace through love. And so you and I need to believe God that we are right with him, and by faith, let him clean us up. Amen? Amen. He says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look, he wrote it and he finished it. How many know it's a done deal? What did Jesus say when he hung on the cross? Right before we gave up the ghost, right before, what did he say? It is finished, right? He took care of it. It's done. It is a done deal. It says, author and finisher for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's his cross, by the way. Despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so really, you and I just live a life believing God. Let me say this before we get into looking at Moses. Last week, I mentioned that we were going to have a film crew here from our Granville church, and that was our intention. But how many know, a little bit of snow just wiped through Western Michigan, including Grand Rapids, the whole area. And so they are coming Sunday, all right? They are coming Sunday. I saw the forecast, and we're just going to keep praying for good weather, and it's good weather. So come out Sunday. Pack the place out. Just a little film on us being in our new building and talk about, they're going to interview me so I can smile and look really pretty. Well, I'm going to smile anyway. And so but we've got a leadership conference. A couple times a year, the Resurrection Life churches get together, and we just want to celebrate what God is doing, not only here at this church, but really what he's done through the Resurrection Life Church organization as a whole. And they want to celebrate with us that God has brought us in here and talk about some of the things we did this past year and what we're looking forward to this year. So come on out, celebrate with us Sunday. That film crew will be here, and you'll get your picture in a little film that we're going to show in front of thousands of people here in a couple of weeks. All right. Tonight, let's look at Moses. Hebrews 11, 24, it says this. By faith, Moses, by what?
Faith.
By what?
Faith.
So he lived by faith. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now remember, we just read in Hebrews 12 that Jesus, despising the shame, endured the cross, looking to the joy. You see the same principle here, don't you? It says he looked towards the what? Reward. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's what? A rewarder. Hebrews 11, 6. You see this all through. When you look at men and women of faith, they believe. Listen, if you don't believe that God wants to bless you, he won't. Say, well, Pastor, isn't that works? No, it's faith. It's faith. You need to believe that God is good. And you know, the devil wants to do everything he can to make you think God is bad, to keep you right in whatever bondage it is you're in, to keep you under whatever it is that is keeping you from fulfilling the will of God in your life. But you know, he's a liar. How many know that? Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. That's all he'll ever be. Liar, liar, pants on fire, nose is longer than a telephone wire. I read the end of the book, and you burn, baby. All right? And you need to have that attitude with the devil, and don't let him step on you. And believe God by faith that you are justified, that you are righteous, and God wants to give you good things. And that's it. I don't care what you're going through, because the world will try to tell you, you are no good. You will never have another job. Come on, somebody. But God said, yes, you will. And not only will you have another job, but you're going to be blessed way beyond what you could possibly imagine. Say, well, the devil says, well, your marriage will never work. Oh, you're a liar. You've always been a liar. So if I know you're saying it, it's not true. Come on, somebody. And you say, my God is rewarding me. My God is working in this relationship. And we are going to have the best marriage ever. Come on, somebody. Because we are believing God to overcome. And that is faith, whatever it is. Whatever God is doing in your life, whatever God is pulling on you, we get back to kind of the call of God. I just wanted to put that in there and talk about faith a little bit. So whatever you're going through, you just believe God that he wants to reward you, and then focus, just like Jesus did, the author and finisher of our faith. He looked at the reward, and you have a reward when you live your life outside of yourself and believe God for great things. And that's where faith takes us. We believe that God is working in our circumstance. And the way that we focus on that is not to focus on our circumstance, but figure out what I can do to help somebody else and then allow God to start to work on my behalf. The problem is when we look at I'm way off my nose, but I can't help myself. The problem is if we look at our situation too long, we lose vision and we don't have hope. You know, vision gives you hope. Without a vision, the people perish, it says in the Bible. It says that. And so what happens is if we keep looking at our problem, then we lose vision. We lose the vision for our lives, and all we look at is the trouble. Help me out, somebody. But God wants us to look beyond what we're going through. He wants us to look beyond whatever we're dealing with and then believe him for the reward that he's got for us, and that really comes through ministry, whether it's being involved in church ministry, children's church, ushers, greeters, tech ministry, giving, financially, whatever, time, treasure, talents, all three of those. God has a call on our lives to do all those things, but then he also calls us to reach out and do something only we can do. And how do you figure that out? Because some people want to know how to do that. Well, listen, what is your passion? And if you're not passionate about anything besides you, you got some praying to do, all right? Sometimes you say something, say, did I really say that? And then I listen to the CD and say, yeah, I did. If we are not passionate, listen carefully, and I mean this respectfully. If we're not passionate about something outside of our own life, our own home, just our own family, and our family is important, by the way, but if we're not passionate about something outside of that, we are selfish. We are consumed with ourselves. And sometimes if we're going through a trial or whatever, I see how that happens. And that's what we explain. That's what we got to say. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? And you know, Trish and I have lived this way for years. And it's a challenge sometimes. It's a challenge. I told you about this woman I prayed for last week. I didn't feel good the day that God told me to pray for her. How many know God will tell you to give some finances and you say, but I ain't got no money, honey. Now, maybe you don't talk to God that way, but see? But that's when we need to really allow God to stretch us outside of ourselves. What's my passion? And how do you figure out your passion? What is it that you could change? And, you're going to have to think about this. What is it that you could change if you could? What is it that you would change if you could? What are you passionate about? You look at the world, and how many know there's lack in the world? It's all over the place. And we're not going to meet every single need, but that shouldn't stop us from trying. Hello. Isn't that right? What breaks your heart? And the thing is, what you and I do with those things that pull on us is important. We can either ignore it or we can pursue it. So when God, here's the thing. Let me just put it to you this way. You say, well, God's put it on my heart to help hungry kids in Africa. Well, we just did that in December, and we support several ministries that do that all year round. So just by giving financially into this church, you could be part of that. But then you pray beyond that and say, okay, God, what else do you want me to do? And you say, well, God's calling me to be a missionary. Well, good. Then help us and be a missionary in children's church. We'll say, yeah, but God's calling me to something bigger than that. Well, you'll never get to anything bigger if you can't do that first. I'm just saying. This is what causes a local church to thrive and to grow, and then for you to get beyond what it is that you're doing right now and take you into what God has for you personally. All right? And so whatever you're passionate about, what is it that breaks your heart? And then say, God, well, what do you want me to do with that? Maybe God wants you to support some ministry outside of this church. That's okay, but take a look at our missions first. We got a lot of them covered. All right? We're trying to diversify as much as we can so that we can just continue to bless others outside of ourselves here as a body. What breaks your heart? What do you wish you could change? What are you passionate about? And if you're not passionate about anything, pray. I guarantee you God will drop something in your heart. You'll see something and God will put it on your heart. Something that really bugs you. Let me just put it that way. Something that just bugs you. And God wants you to pray about that and be a part of helping change that. All right? Exodus 2:11. Let's look at Moses. It says, Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and he looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Now listen, don't do this if you're passionate. Don't go kill somebody. That is not what we're talking about. We're looking at Moses here, all right? Let's get some good points here. It says, and when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now what we see here is we see that Moses is passionate about something. Did you see that? He's passionate about his people. Remember, and we don't have time to look at the whole story of Moses. But Moses, remember, at the time, Pharaoh was killing all the Jewish babies. And his mother put him in a basket and floated him down the river and allowed him to be raised by Egyptians. And so he grew up as an Egyptian, but he was a Jew, a Hebrew. And so when he came of age, he had this passion to help deliver them from slavery and bondage. In case you didn't know the story, that's it. And so here he is. He's got that passion. And here's the thing. So many times we get passionate about something, but you know the best thing we can do is start to seek God. And God got him there, by the way. We see here, now he did the wrong thing by killing that guy. Good passion. They were being taken advantage of. They needed to be delivered. But by killing one guy was not the answer. How many know that? Sometimes you cannot do it on your own. Matter of fact, you cannot do it on your own if it's something God has planned for you. You can do a little bit, but God wants to deliver all the people, not just one. But it says, Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he sat down by a well. And I highlighted that in my Bible when I read that. And even though God forced Moses into this situation, if you're passionate about something and God's putting on your heart, you need to get alone with God and start to drink deeply from the well. And start let God to start to wash over you and start to minister to you and start to pour things into you. I remember there's a story of Jesus. We're not going to turn there, but in John chapter 4, I'm going to know the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And he goes there. And what I love about that whole thing is the disciples go to get food, and Jesus stays behind, and he goes to this well, and he just waits. And a woman comes up, and he starts to talk to her and starts to minister to her, starts to read her mail a little bit and has a word of wisdom, knowledge, and those things about her life. And what I like the most is she gets a hold of the call of God of her life. And how do I know that? Because the Bible says she went and she ran and told everybody in her village about Jesus. But the thing that I find interesting, and you read it for yourself, it says that she left her water pot at the well. See, you can be thirsty, you can be hungry, but when you get that need met spiritually, you forget all about being thirsty and hungry. Because there is a spiritual need that God wants to meet that's great. That's what I love about fasting and prayer. And God taught us how to do that. Remember, 21 days, and we're still doing that. And I know many of you are continuing to fast on a regular basis. That is really healthy for us individually and as a church. Let's read on Exodus 2:23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Listen, God is faithful to his promises. If you feel like God has bailed on you, remember, he has not. He will never fail you. He will never, ever leave you. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:3 that he's given us all things, say all things, that pertain to life and godliness. So no matter what we're going through, God remembers. You know, the Egyptians, they probably thought, boy, that's it. Matter of fact, the Bible shows us that Moses was out in the wilderness or in the desert of Midian for 40 years. So there's a new Pharaoh, all right? But God has not forgotten his covenant. Matter of fact, let me just say this tonight. Your trial, and you may not believe this, but your trial or whatever you're going through, your struggle right now, do you believe it's making you stronger? Look what it says here. Turn here with me. I don't have it in my notes, or maybe you can bring this up. Who's back there, Aaron? Could you bring up Exodus 1:12 in the New King James? Exodus 1:12, New King James. It says this about the Jews. It says, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. I love that verse. The more that the Egyptians afflicted them, the stronger they became. It's kind of like, how many ever heard somebody say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Anybody ever heard that? It's true. Okay? It's true. But it's all the way we look at it. It's our attitude that whatever you're going through now, you say, Pastor, you don't understand. What I've been going through has been happening for way too long. No, it hasn't. All right? You say, well, how do you know? Because it hasn't changed yet. And as soon as that changes, guess what? You'll have something else. But see, from challenge to challenge, he takes us from what? Glory to glory. Because God's plan for our life is beyond whatever we are facing. It's way beyond what we can comprehend. But we got to believe that our trial is making us stronger. We got to remember that God has not forgotten about us. Now, here's Moses. It says here in Exodus 3:1, it says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Remember, he's 40 years, he has gone out into the wilderness. Again, we can't look at every verse, but to give you a picture of what's happened. He grows up as in Egypt. He's a Hebrew, but grows up under Egyptian parents, becomes son of Pharaoh. He works, he tries to kill a man because of the passion of delivering the children of Israel. For 40 years, he goes out. And he's there. It says, Moses tending the flock. It says that he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with the fire, but the bush was not consumed. And as I read this, there's a few things that really pop out at me. First of all, am I faithful with the flock that God has given me? And what do I mean by that? If you believe you have a call of God on your life, and remember, I already answered that for you, remember, way back when we started? The answer is yes. What am I being faithful with right now? What's the flock, if you will? You may not be a pastor. You know, I know we say, well, you know, I'm a pastor, and this is my flock. Let's not be religious with this, okay? What has God given you to tend? What has God given you to watch over? What has God given you to help? Who has God given you to help? What has he put in front of you right now? And you see this concept throughout Scripture, all right? So here's Moses tending the flock. He sees the fire of God burning, and it's not going out. And I wonder, when was the last time I left my busyness? When was the last time that I stirred up the passion of God on the inside? And you see this happening. The Bible tells us in Timothy that we should fan the flame. Stir up the gift of God. You know, you got to do that for yourself. Help me out, somebody. You got to do that. Now, we're supposed to stir each other up, too. And I'm trying to tonight. Really, I am. Really. But you got to stir yourself up. Say, well, I'm just not passionate for God. I understand. So change. It's up to us. You realize that, don't you? It's up to us. And if you say, I'm not passionate for God, it's time to get in the Bible and start to read and start to meditate and start to take notes and start to get alone with God and not let that fire go out. Jeremiah 29, I love this verse. Listen to what he says. He says, and I can't quit. For if I say I'll never again mention the Lord, never more speak in his name, then his word is in my heart like a fire that burns in my bones, and I can't hold it in any longer. I love that. Jeremiah says, his word is in me. It's just burning to get out. Letting the fire of God come out. You say, well, I don't have that fire. It's because you haven't digested enough word. It's because you haven't digested enough. When you start to meditate on the word of God, it starts to get you excited. And that should describe us. Now, look what it says. Here he is. He's at this burning bush experience. He went to Burning Bush University. How many went to Burning Bush University? Okay. I did. That's right. That's right. School of, it's like high school, School of Hard Knocks, and Burning Bush University. Or BBU, as we like to call it. All right. Well, you guys are a hard crowd tonight. All right. Exodus 3. Exodus 3, 4. It says, so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called him, or called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Tonight, listen, some of us need to answer the call of God. I mean, I spent my 20s. Elaine, I spent my 20s. God calling me and I ran from him. All my 20s. Right? I wasn't even saved, but I can remember God calling me. And I'd be smoking a joint, getting high, smoking a cigarette, drunk as usual. And Holy Spirit would be drawing me, and I knew it was God. I knew it. I wouldn't have said it was Holy Spirit at the time, but it was God. I knew it was God. I didn't know if it was he or she or it. I did, because I had these weird concepts of what I thought God must be, like from Mars or something. One too many hits acid, I guess, but praise God. He delivered me, and now I got the mind of Christ. Hello, somebody. But I remember he'd call, and I'd say, you don't want me, and he'd say, I do. I'd say, no, you don't, and you know what, that'd be it. And then there'd be another day, and I could sense him calling me. I'd say, nah, you don't want me. He'd draw me a little bit. I'd ignore it. That would be it. You know, so many of us, even as Christians, God starts to draw us into what he wants us to do or to serve or maybe someone to go witness to or to do something or to just believe him for a breakthrough somewhere in our lives. And he's drawing on us, but we ignore that. We shouldn't do that. When the Lord says, Moses, just insert your name, you should say, here I am, Lord, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And that's what you see here. And Moses says, yes, sir, yes, Lord, I will serve you. And then he humbles himself under the mighty hand of God. Let me ask you, when you get up and get in the Word, if you do, and I hope you do, are you just reading it to check it off and get done with it? Or are you taking time, listen carefully, allowing yourself to be vulnerable with God? Allowing yourself to be vulnerable before God. Letting God kind of just, you know, strip you clean spiritually. Really. All right. There's not a thought that I've had, Lord, but you know it altogether. Am I undone? Let's turn here. Isaiah 6:5. Isaiah 6:5. I'm going to, how about if we look at, let me pull it up here. I'll see what. Isaiah 6, verse 5. We'll just do New King James. That's fine. It says this. Matter of fact, let's back up to verse 1. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now tonight, you know, we're worshiping God and we're singing whatever song. We did 5 of them. Some of us had this kind of experience during worship. Some of us did not. Now, and I'm not saying that you should have or shouldn't have. I think we should have had some kind of experience rather than just waiting for it to be over. Right? But this is really, we should be having these experiences ourselves, one-on-one with God. That's even more important. But it's equally, I should say equally important, because it is important as a congregation too. It says, and he above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the postal door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Tonight we're praying for people. We have people come down here getting prayed. We're worshiping. I'll tell you, the glory of God. And the glory of God is with us all the time. You realize that, don't you? Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. The power of God. What did Jesus say? These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. If they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They'll handle snakes and they will not bite them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll what? Recover. All right? That's the glory of God that does that. It's the anointing of God. And listen to what he says in verse 5. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, I just like that passage of Scripture because it really gives us a picture of humility. When I open up my Bible and pray and seek God, is it just kind of like, okay, got that done and get on with my busy day? Or do I allow God to really show up and for me to be in awe of him? Am I worshiping God? Some of this we talked about during our fast, but I'll tell you, this is my passion. All right? So you wonder, you're talking about passion? When I became a Christian, you know what I hated? What I couldn't stand? Lukewarm Christians. So now God has made me a pastor, and here I am, and so now you get to hear this a lot because God wants to stir us up. And the only way that can happen is for you to get passionate, for you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, for you to start to really just run after God with all that you have and to just realize that God is bigger than you are. Am I in awe of God when I'm in his presence? Am I challenged in God's presence? There's times I'm praying. I'm not kidding you. There are times I feel like I am going to just come out of myself. And I don't know, some of you may understand that, some of you may not. Maybe I'm not saying my experience has to be everybody's experience. Don't misunderstand me. But there's times I could be praying, and I've prayed this, and I've prayed that, and I've prayed in tongues. I've done everything I know, and then it's like, I mean, really, it's like, oh, because God is so big, and there's such a call that he's got on us. And there's so many things, so many people that don't know Christ, and so many Christians that aren't living this way. And I just haven't seen everything I'm believing for in my life. And sometimes that just makes me go. And then I'm okay. Then I go get a coffee at BAM and everything's fine. Everything's fine before the coffee. Exodus 3:7. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Listen, there's a whole world being held captive by the devil. There's a world that's suffering. There's a world that's in misery. What is it that God is asking me to do? What is it that God is asking you to do? And like I say, just starting where you are. And so many, I'm looking around the room, and so many of you are involved in ministry. I realize that. But some of you aren't, and some of you may have a good reason, and that's fine. I'm not here to make you feel guilty and wrestle you into ministry. That's not, don't look, you got to let God move on your heart. But the thing is, It takes everyone doing their part. What is it that God's called us to do together, and what is my part in that? All right? And you may be sitting there tonight and you think, well, what is God going to do in my life? I have a hard enough time getting up in the morning, just getting out of bed. And some of us laugh, but I'll tell you, for some people, that's rough. And that's a very real thing. All right? And you think, well, what could God ever do through my life? Listen, you're not the only one that's ever felt that way. All right? Let's read on Exodus 3:13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? You may be saying, what am I supposed to do? And you may, God may have even spoken something to you, and you, it's big, and it's like, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And you're thinking, God, I have no idea what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. And God said, say, God said. He said to Moses, I am who I am. Say, well, that helps. He says, thus you'll say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Say, well, I'm here. God told me to do this. Really? Yep. Who else? Just God. God told me. Well, just do it. And he says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now look, if you take a look at the word I am who I am, this is what it means literally, okay? It means the breath of existence. The breath of existence, or eternal or always existing breath. That's the best way I can describe it in English. You know, we could try to pronounce words or not pronounce words because there's letters you can't pronounce. But it means the breath that has always existed, the life-giving breath. When the Bible says that God created man, Adam, and it said that he breathed life into him, that is this God right here. I am. I am the existing, omnipresent God. And I read that and I think, you know, God wants to blow fresh wind into whatever it is you're going through right now. God wants to take those dry bones and shake them up. Shake, rattle, and roll. Come on, somebody. And he wants to put flesh on there. And he wants to give you life. Today, you may be struggling, saying, boy, I just can't even see the end of tomorrow, the end of the week. God wants to breathe an existence into your life. He's the one that's always been. Ezekiel 37. Let's turn there. Ezekiel 37, New King James. Chapter 37. I'm going to start in verse 1. And we're going to have to stop here tonight. He says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. This may feel like you tonight. This may feel like your situation tonight. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh, Lord, you know. Let me encourage you tonight. God knows. God knows. Whatever you're going through, it could be a financial hurdle. It could be a relationship issue. It could be sickness in your body. I don't know what it is. But God knows. And God has the answer. And God has the provision. Verse 4, he says, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus the Lord God says to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Let me just say tonight that that breath and that voice needs to come through you. And God will breathe existence into your valley of dry bones when you start to speak it. Jesus said, if you'd say unto this mountain, be removed, it would have to obey you. Isn't that what he said? So whatever you're going through tonight, the Spirit of God is saying tonight, speak to those dry bones. You may have to get alone with God. You leave here tonight. Get some prayer if you need prayer. Our altar team will be here when we dismiss. Get some prayer, get some agreement. But then get home and start to speak to that thing. Put the kids to bed. And just start to talk to that thing. Whatever it is. If you need healing, say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I speak to that cancer in my body. You cannot grow in there. By the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I speak to you, and you cannot stay in there. You take your checkbook and open it up and say, oh, God, and close it. Okay, I understand. Okay, I understand. You take that thing and you say, oh, checkbook, woo! I thank you that the Lord God meets my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You say, well, how can I know that, Pastor Tony? Because you just gave your last dollar in the offering. That's why. Oh. Maybe you got a relationship. You say, it's been years. Then look in the mirror and start talking to yourself. Say, dry bones. Accept responsibility. Humble yourself. And start to talk to that thing. Start to say, Lord, I thank you that you've made me righteous. And if you've made me righteous as yourself, then every relationship I have is righteous. I'm in right relationship with you, God. And the Bible says that if I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, and mind, love my brother as myself, that I'm going to prosper. And you start to speak over that situation. And you start to take, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a loved one that's lost. Maybe it's a child that has run from home. Maybe it's a loved one or a brother or sibling, sister, or a child that hasn't talked to you in years. You start to name that out. You start to go, you take your spouse, and you just look at your spouse and say, tonight it stops. Tonight it's over. Tonight, the dryness stops tonight. And tonight I speak life into my city. You may have a problem in your mind, and you may have to look at yourself and say, depression, in the name of Jesus, I command. You may have to go get a friend, a spouse, to pray with you. You may have to call someone up and say, would you agree with me? And Father, I thank you that you give your beloved sweet sleep. And tonight, Father, I thank you that I sleep sweetly and I wake up, Lord God, and your mercies are new every morning. Therefore, I get up with a great attitude tomorrow. And tomorrow, I know no matter what I face, that I'm gonna face that challenge. And I know that the greater one lives on the inside of me. And if the greater one lives on the inside of me, I know that I am more than a conqueror. And if I'm more than a conqueror and the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me, then I know that I'm going to be victorious. And I know that if he raised Jesus from the dead, he will give me life. And I speak to these bones and I speak life into my situation. And you start to go and you believe God. You say, but Pastor, it's been too long. Listen, I know it hasn't been too long because it hasn't changed. Woo! Don't let that get you depressed. That should get you energized. Because God still wants to change your circumstance. Listen what it says. Where do we leave? Verse 6. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied. Who did? Say, I did. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Jesus said, say unto your mountain. Jesus said, whatever things you believe, whatever things you desire, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. He says, speak it out by faith. Where was I? What verse? Where did I leave off, Aaron? Did you have me up there? I lost track. The breath came into him. Did I read verse 10? So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. They stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Look here. Whatever you're facing, today, start to speak life. Start to speak life. Start to speak life. Start to speak life. The Bible says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it will eat the fruit of it. What am I saying over my situation? Now listen, again, I know you could have been in this situation for years. I understand that. I'm not trying to be incompassionate to whatever your situation is that you're facing. But understand something. you can make a difference by what you say. And so many times we actually hinder things and make them worse by what we say. By what we say. Close your eyes tonight. I just want every one of us, Holy Spirit of God, I just ask you right now to just examine us. Areas that we have spoken negative. Areas that we have not believed your word. Areas that we have allowed the enemy to just come in and control our thoughts, control our words. So tonight I ask, Lord, that you would give us a vision for our future. That we would start to speak to those dry bones. That we'd start to prophesy. That we would start to say, I am sent me. The eternal breath lives in me. The one who always has been lives in me. And now I speak to this situation, life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, you may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me explain what I mean by that. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you if you've ever been to church. I'm asking you if you know tonight for sure that you're on your way to heaven, because the Bible says you can know without a doubt. Maybe you prayed when you were a child. Maybe you prayed a while ago and you know tonight you're not living for God. I want to pray for you too. Say, Pastor, tonight I'm coming back to God. So whether you're here tonight and you've never received salvation, received Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you received Him at one time and tonight you know you got to come back to Him because you haven't been living for Him, I want to pray for you. And I've got information I want to put into your hands that we prepared specially for you. And so to get you that information, I'm going to need to see your hand. And so I'm going to ask everyone's head to just stay bowed. Every eye closed. I see that hand over there already went up. On a count of three, I want to see your hand so I can give you this information. You ready? One, two, three. Lift your hand quick. I see that hand there. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, pray with me. Pastor, pray with me. I need to come to Jesus. I need to come back to Him. Everybody with their heads bowed and eyes closed, just the gentleman with your hand up. Can you look at me? I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I'm going to have my friend Brandon here. I think it's Brandon or Kevin. Who is that back there? He's going to bring this up to you. If you'd read the inside of this packet, keep it. There's a card inside. If you'd fill it out, we want to pray for you by name. But right now, let's all pray this together. Would everybody just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin because I'm a sinner and I need your help. I make you Lord of my life. I'm not going to serve myself any longer, but I'm going to serve you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so proud of you. That is so awesome. Awesome, awesome. Now, if you're a first-time guest here tonight, we have something we call a welcome brochure. It tells you about our ministry, different things we have available for you and your family, and we also have a gift that